Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome back to the First Cut Podcast. My name is Kyle Porter. I'm here with Mark Immelman. Mark, how are we doing today?
I'm fine, Kyle. I was back at it today around the Champion Course, and it was a fun day. I got to be honest with you. How are you?
I am good. Just a long day. It's always jarring, I think, to switch from the West Coast to the East Coast during the PGA Tour season, because I pretty much, you're going back and forth, so your time zones are all messed up anyway, but I'm staying central, so I go from staying up super late to, oh, by the time I wake up, the first wave's already on like the 10th tee box or whatever. So it's always a, I prefer the East Coast I like the early morning start. I like getting out of the way, but it's always a little bit jarring to transition to that.
You speak of jarring. I mean, with a mainstream ESPN Plus this morning, first shot was 6:45. My group was at 7 something, and so the call time for us is 5-ish. And so, you know how it goes when you got the early alarm clock, that at about 2 a.m. you start waking up kind of on the half hour, so you can miss stuff. So it was kind of crazy, but it was a different PGA National Champion course to the one I've experienced in years past, I'll say that.
Yeah, I want to talk about that. That's actually where I want to start. We'll get to Chad Ramey and SH Kim here in a minute, who are co-leading this golf tournament. But I think a lot of the talk on Thursday and going into Friday is going to be about how PGA National was playing a lot easier. Now, I went back and looked at some of the first round scores over the last couple of years. They've been a little bit worse than what they were this year, but also, you know, they changed the par of the course. It's been a par 70, changed it to a 71. I think that accounts for a little bit of it, but it did seem to be playing, you said different, I think. I think maybe a little easier than it has in the years past. Was that your takeaway from day one?
I would say this morning it was significantly easier. I didn't recognize the place. And this afternoon when the wind kicked up, it was kind of more of what I remember. But we did a segment on PGA Tour Live this morning where it's called Rules Corner. And I had spoken with Steve Rintoul, one of the PGA Tour rules. He's actually the vice president of rules and officiating. And spoke with him yesterday. And on the air this morning, when I talked to him, he said, look, as a setup body, we made a concerted effort with this event to make it a little easier. He goes, because these guys are coming off the West Coast and they're going into two big time events in the Arnold Palmer Invitational and the Players. And this event, people just didn't want to come because it was just so difficult. And so they were looking for a week off. They're like, well, I'm not going to go and get beaten up by this golf course. And so they made 10 a par 5. But the truth is, the greens were all receptive. They had slowed them down to about 12 in the stimp meter. The rough wasn't punitive whatsoever.
Yeah.
What they had done over the last couple of years was, because there had been a lot of rough creep from the Bermuda, they'd widened them to where their original specifications were. So there were some wide, soft targets. This morning, it was like playing golf in a dome, and it was kind of aim and fire and have the ball stop and it lands. And then you add 10 as the par 5, which was kind of curious, because I actually made the observation in the afternoon, and Steve Scott, our analyst, laughed at it. Like, isn't it crazy? 10, they move the tee back 30 yards, right? That's 530-something now. And you say it's a par 5, and guys are just shooting grass off the thing. then you make it a par 400 or 500, and then they make bogeys and stuff all over the show. And I'm like, it's crazy, isn't it? But then if you had to move the tee back 30 yards and tell them it's a par 4, I said to him, how much moaning would there be in the player's locker room? He goes, it would be incessant. And so it's just incredible to me then, and it proved sort of the mindset of stuff. So you give a player a 530 par 5, and they're like, sweet.
Yeah.
And they get after the thing. So, yeah, I'm with you. Par is a bit of a construct. But overall, I'll say this morning, the golf course was so easy. So easy. This afternoon, it grew some teeth some, but it wasn't really as.
Yeah, and Rory said that he shot 467 and said it was just it was as easy as it could possibly get in terms of PGA National. You know, watching it today, it reminded me a little bit of I know stylistically they're different, but it reminded me of watching like kind of one of those midsummer tournaments, like the John Deere, the 3M, or something like that. Just from a And I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the softness or the wetness, or just like how lush it was, how wide it played or seemed, you know, and it didn't feel like your traditional PGA National. I guess my question for you as a follow-up would be, is that a good thing? Like a lot of people are talking about, hey, the identity of this tournament was that it was hard, you know? And so I'm just curious about kind of whether you think the difficulty being easier is a good or a bad thing?
Well, when Steve Rintoul mentioned to me their mission and their aim with this, because there's a new sponsor. So maybe the sponsor had some say-so in this too, to say, look, we're not interested in some par battle around score of par. But when he said, look, we want players to come here and just to feel like they can swing free and not have their brains beaten out before what's 2 weeks that are pretty grueling in the next 2 weeks in the Arnold Palmer and the players. So they fulfilled their mission by what they did. Yeah. And look, it's not normal, but in a strange sort of a way, it was actually fun for me to watch guys make a few birdies around the place there. Because look, it'll likely firm up over the weekend and par will start to become a thing again. But it was just a pleasant sort of surprise, but it caught me unawares, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, no, I agree. I had seen that they widened the fairway, so I thought it might play a little easier, but I think it was just, like you said, softer than maybe what we imagine. So let's get to the leaders. We've got Chad Ramey and SH Kim, both shot 7 under 64. Kind of two unlike, I mean, in a lot of ways, Mark, this fits in with the theme of the PGA Tour season, at least for the first round, which is, hey, long shots, long shots, long shots. Look at these guys that are, I mean, I would, Chad Ramey was like 300-1 to win this golf tournament. Now, whether he's in that position on Sunday is a long way to that, but which of these guys, I guess I'll ask it this way. Which of these guys do you think has more staying power at the top after the first day?
That's a good question. I'll say this. The first time I laid eyes on SH Kim, I was like, wow. I mean, he is so well organized. He's got a beautiful golf swing. He's just got all of the tools. But, you know, this game is played on a 5-inch fairway, and that's the space between your ears. And Chad Ramey has proved that he can win on tour, albeit a smaller event. But, you know, he too is very disciplined, doesn't do anything he can't do, and he plays out of the fairway a bunch. Ramey, that is. He's got a lot of control. It's a game predicated on accuracy. So if conditions, because we're supposed to get more wind tomorrow, if conditions deteriorate, I would sort of say Ramey just because of the style of game that he plays. But if I know you guys talk about the term ceiling, with respect to Chad Ramey, I think SH Kim's ceiling is a lot higher, but he's unproven. I mean, he's contended some, but Ramey's got the win. So because of that, I'm going to sort of, because of the style of his game, I would say him.
Yeah, I think I would probably agree with that. You know, it's interesting. I don't know what SH Kim's odds were. They had to be triple digits. Again, Ramey was 300. Mark, SH Kim doesn't have a top 10 anywhere since the Fortinet, which was, what, September of last year. Chad Ramey doesn't have a top 10 since he won, which was 2 years ago now at the Punta Cana. So it's pretty wild just to see, you know, again, keeping with the theme of the PGA Tour season, of just all these long shots being up near the top. So we'll talk about a few guys that can maybe chase them down. after the break. But first, we need to hear a word from our partners.
Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me. And I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple. And that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast, and I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Okay, Mark. So the two names at the top, not necessarily big names, although they had great days, but there's some big names chasing them. And the place that I want to start with is Cam Young. Cam Young shot 6-under 65, made kind of everything he looked at. Is this a golf course that you would typically think would fit somebody like a Cam Young and his style of play?
No.
But again, yeah, that's what I thought.
It didn't play to its usual personality today. So look, to me, these guys are so good that if a player comes in with confidence, they'll find a way to play well on whatever course, and it might not suit their eye. But the thing about this golf course is it doesn't necessarily fit one sort of ball flight. It just respects accuracy and control. And so you can stand there and pound the thing with driver if you're brave enough, or you can play in the fairway and play with a medium iron in hand. But look, he's just been playing really, really soundly. So I'm sure the confidence is sky high, and I'm keen to see if he can kick this one on, because if ever there's a time, it's now, because he lives down here, so he's comfortable in the area. I feel like I watched him some on the range a little bit in practice yesterday, and he has brought the ball flight down just a whisker, because when he used to hit driver, it was hit hard and high and went far, yeah, and we saw if it was in the fairway. It almost looked like the pause atop the swing was a little less pronounced. It looked like he was covering the ball a whole lot more with his body, so the ball flight was controlled. So maybe this is something he's built into the repertoire. But he does live in the area, so he's familiar with the conditions on the golf course and such. And like I say, confidence is kind of key with these guys.
Yeah, he said afterward that he enjoys playing in Florida, or basically what you said. He's accustomed to it, even though he's kind of thrived a little bit on the West Coast swing. Like, he likes coming back to Florida. He's had a weird year. You know, he's somebody that I think has a real chance to win the Masters. He's played so good there. He obviously is one of the best drivers in the world, but you know, he had kind of some weird story. He wasn't good at Century. He almost finished last at Pebble, but then he had a third place in Dubai and had a couple top 20s coming into this week. So it seems like he's kind of moving in the right direction, but I'm interested to kind of see how the rest of his week plays out.
Well, remember this guy, was it a year ago? He was the champion in waiting, wasn't he? Just everyone was going gaga over Cam Young or Young Cameron, as Patrick calls him. And players were lining up to play four with him in the Ryder Cup and stuff. And look, he's got the chops. We all know this. And his game just went a little sour, but he's back in the saddle to me. And I feel like his timing was just right. So I think your Masters call is spot on. If he doesn't do something, you know, nice in the next few big events.
Yeah, I'd like to see him get even more form than he's had over the last couple, where he's finished in the top 20. Let's go to Chris Kirk, 467. Man, he's had a really good year, and obviously, you know, was awesome here last year. Did anything stick out to you with his card or his game today, or just kind of how he's playing right now?
Yeah, I didn't ruin him badly enough from the first two when I said hello.
I forgot about that.
I'll tell you this. Look, he got off to a fast start. And he was in the ball well and making putts and stuff. He just looked very comfortable. And then he was cruising along there and then, you know, hits the ball to the right side of the hole on 15, which in the morning that hole was playing. It was ridiculously easy. 155 yards, and guys were getting scoring irons in their tight. And the flag was 5 paces off the right-hand edge. So the water's, 20 feet away, if anything, if my arithmetic's right. And he fizzes some scoring iron in there at about 8 feet. And then on 17, the flag went back right too. And he didn't make the best swing, and he didn't save and rinsed one in the water. It makes double. And then the next hole, we're walking down the fairway, and he walks past me. I think he'd laid the ball up. And he walks past me, and he goes, "How's your stroll?" And I said to him, "Fine, how's your stroll?" And he goes, "No, it's good, man." And I'm thinking in my head, this guy's just made double, and after being in tied for the lead or whatever he was at the time. And it struck me how, like, together and how present he was and how unfazed he was that he had just rinsed the ball in the water and made a double bogey. And that's when I realized, I'm like, this guy has a handle on life right now. And I feel like that's why the golf is so good, because golf has got its place in Chris Kirk's life. You know, he's had to deal with bigger, more pressing issues. Nearly lost his family and, you know, his health too. And so now when he plays golf, you honestly look at a guy who's working hard. Body is in tremendous shape. I actually joked with him. I'm like, all that pitching and jumping and throwing and stuff you're doing in the gym is worthwhile. And he goes, "Yeah." I'm like, "You got a six pack?" And he goes, "Not yet." And so he's just in good shape all around. And most importantly, he's in good shape mentally and emotionally. And I feel like the scores and the scorecard are sort of indicative of the way he is right now.
Yeah, I agree. I watched him a little bit. I think one thing you said about SH Kim earlier that I really liked is just how organized he is. I know you were talking about his golf swing, but Chris Kirk just comes across as very organized in his just going about his day, going about his round, going about his hole. He doesn't really seem to be in a hurry. I know that's sort of his personality, but it's also, you know, as we all know, things can get going very quickly, and he just doesn't seem to abide by, you know, whatever is external. He just kind of stays internal, and it's been fun to watch so far this year.
Yeah, that's a really good call. And the thing about that being true to himself or being present or whatever you want to call it, it's not like he's trying to over-attack or hit the wrong shot. He's just hitting the right shot all of the time. And it's almost like he's in this mindset where he knows, like, look, over 72 holes, I'm going to be a part of this thing. I just mustn't beat myself. Because if I don't beat myself, I have a chance of winning events like this. He's proven it to himself. Something else that really jumped out to me was when he was asked about the fact that a few golfers are staying in the house this week. It took a really brave man, a guy who's pretty comfortable with himself, to say, look, I only stay in a hotel room like twice a year. He goes, because it gets lonely in there. And I can tell you how lonely a hotel room is. I'm in a hotel room right now. And that takes a very mature person to admit something like that. Because in this environment that I work in of nothing but alphas, you know, we're all putting our best face forward, you know, and our brave face on. Well, he's like, look, I get lonely, man. So when I get a chance, I get a hotel and a house and I call my buddies in. And again, this just speaks to a guy who knows exactly who he is and he knows what he's got to do to play his best golf.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think everybody's rooting for Chris Kirk, kind of no matter what he's doing or how he's playing. So, okay, let's end with Rory. 467. Watch almost all of it. Man, he's driving the hell out of it. He is driving it so good. 12 of 14 fairways.
It's different though, that driver. I gotta tell you, you walked past me in the one fair and I started having audio issues, so I didn't see the last few holes because the audio was all mixed up for some reason. But we start on 10, he hits this just lazy draw down the fairway there and makes birdie. Then 11, he had to go down the fairway. 12, some kind of thing. Then 13. It's sort of a narrow tee shot. And back in the day, all you know, people used to lay up. And nowadays, guys just drill driver down there. But I would think he'd air one out to get it over the bunk down the left, which is like 290. And he hit this thing like flat. It was probably 50 feet in the air. And he was only 63 yards from the hole on a hole. It was like 300 or 400-ish. And I walked past him, and I'm like, dang, big guy. And he goes, yeah, I've been working on this flighted driver. He goes, I put into play at Riviera, and our flighted driver, he's not changed drivers. He's just able to hit the thing lower now, because when Rory normally hits driver, it's just in the air drawing and going hard. And I was like, cool. And he goes, I'm loving it. He goes, it worked out at Riv. He goes, I'm feeling so confident. So a couple holes later, it's another good one. I mean, a really good one. Down 18, maybe. Also flat. And so I wait for him, and I walk up to him like, how are you hitting this thing? What are you doing? Have you changed drivers? What's the story? And he goes, I teed a little lower. He goes, and I move closer to it. He goes, in fact, I'm standing uncomfortably close to the ball, what he said. He goes, because when I do that, I feel like I can hit the ball from straight. I can cover it more and just release my right arm down the line. Whereas when I stand farther from it and I hit the air ball, I get behind the thing and I sling my right arm and then I can hit the thing left. And I was like, very interesting, very interesting. And he goes, but I'm uncomfortably close to the ball. And I sort of laughed. And then I thought about this. I'm like, the hole that he hit the shot down, like there was one down two where there's trees in the left bunk on the right, he had a perfect flat draw down the fairway there. I was like, it takes a lot of trust to go ahead and hit the shot on that hole. And he did, and he pulled it off. So you say he's driving it well. I don't think the numbers are actually doing justice to how he's driving it. Because somewhere in the air in full bore and some of this flat driver that he's not changing clubs for. So he's all sorts of artistic and creative right now. And I feel like it's making him better.
I feel like he talked about the flighted driver that he was putting in play or trying to hit maybe in Dubai. There was somewhere where he mentioned it earlier this year, but it's cool to think about it. I mean, it sounds, does it seem like it's more of a, like, this is going to sound dumb because he's still hitting at 325, but like a fairway finder type shot.
Absolutely. A fairway finder. And I think he's realized, because he has the thing, right? All the data metrics tell these guys, just hit the thing as close to the target as you can, no matter where it is. But you speak to any consistent tournament winner and they'll be like, it's an advantage to play out of the fairway. I don't care who you are. Like this week, out of the rough, the rough's not that dangerous. Soft greens, you can get something to stop in there close. But when you get to big events, the ones Rory wants to win, you've got to have control and precision with your irons. So that's very much a function of getting the ball in play. And 320 in the rough to a firm green, yeah, you probably can get it on the green. But in many instances, he would take 9-iron or 8-iron from the fairway a little bit more. So I feel like it is a play to make himself more versatile in the big events. And I commend him, because it would take a lot, because when a player says he's uncomfortable, yet he still does it, that speaks to how they believe in what they're doing.
Well, I think you're right. I think he has a ton of confidence. It's weird to think about Rory being more confident with driver than he is traditionally, but he finished first in the field at Riv off the tee. He was still first in the field today off the tee. So he is locked in with driver, and the irons have gone the other way. And I think Rory gets a bad rap for, like, I think people think he's a terrible iron player. He's actually a very good iron player. It's just relative to, like, where his drives end up, right?
I need to say this. I measure guys' iron play by distance they hit the ball. And most of Rory's misses today, they were the same sort of miss. He didn't have the two-sided thing going on, because he has started to have problems with the iron game when he hits misses at left and right. Every miss he had with the iron today was right. Not bad right, but right of where he wanted to start it, I'm sure. But the thing flew whole high. So it wasn't like right and whiffed, like I saw Colin Morikawa doing at one stage. Every ball is hit on the button. It's just like the start line was a whisker off. So yeah. I don't think there's any real problem right there. But now, look, I've called him at times when you see like a one that turns hard left and goes forever, then you see the other one that's short right. Everything was flying the distance there, and there weren't left misses. And to me, that's somewhat heartening, because a lot of these holes where they got water down the right, it's easy to stand in there and tweak one and hit one along left, and he didn't. So I think the numbers sort of belie a little bit of what's really going on.
Yeah, I think that was a little bit the case at Riviera as well. He seems like he talked about this afterwards. He was like, listen, I need to go find a target on the range and just try to hit to a left pin, hit to a left pin, hit to a left pin. Mm-hmm. I will say he had the bogey he made on eight. I think it was eight. He made a five on eight. That one, I think, was long left. And that's the one where it's like, that to me, I think you're right, Mark. Like, that to me is the frustrating one where you're like, come on, dude. Mm-hmm. But the one where it's right and pin high, you're kind of like, yeah, that gets worked out, right? Like, that's just reps. That's just kind of figuring it out. The long left one is the one where you're like, that's tough. Rory is still the favorite.
That ball's the killer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rory's still the favorite. He was the favorite coming in, or at least last time I looked, he was still the favorite. I think we've got odds that we're going to pull up. Rory is plus 650 to win this golf tournament. Cam Young plus 750. SH Kim, who's leading, co-leading, is 16 to 1. And then we go down the list, Mark. We've got Andrew Novak at 22, Benny Ahn at 22, Minwoo Lee, who shot, I believe, 467. He's at 25, Chesson Hadley, 25. Austin Eckroat, my guy, Oklahoma State, 665. He's 28 to 1. Does any of this interest you from a just kind of what their odds are standpoint?
I sound like Patrick here. I'm very much on the eye test. And I spent a little time with Minwoo in the practice round yesterday, the pro-am.
Oh, it's awesome.
Tua Tagovailoa for the record.
Oh, and that's sweet.
Minwoo just looked really good to me. And he said played here last year, but he just felt more comfortable around this time. And he hit some shots that I was like, yeah, boy's got it. I mean, I know he's in flash, right? But he looked really good. And to get around in four under this afternoon, because he played late, I feel like that was certainly gaining on the field, I would think. I haven't seen the numbers. Because this morning, the guys had the easier of the conditions, there's no doubt. Yeah. Now, the forecast is for it to blow harder tomorrow afternoon. But I think it's still going to blow in the morning. But I feel like Minwoo can get out there in the morning, stack something on there, maybe another four under, get to eight. And who knows? I think all bets are off by the time Friday evening comes. And then it's a weekend charge, and we know he can win. So I like Minwoo at 20 plus 25.
Yeah, Minwoo was 16th in the field, tee to green. Rory was 17th. So at least numbers-wise, hit it. He did it a lot differently. His iron play, his approach play was a lot better. His off the tee was a little bit worse, but they both putted pretty poorly, or not poorly, but just kind of below average. Actually, the name that I really liked, he's off this list. He's not within the top, whatever that is, eight. But Daniel Berger shot 68 on Thursday. hasn't played very much. He's been injured, obviously, his back and a shoulder injury. He's 50-1 to win this tournament. And he was like top five in the field in terms of striking it. And as you know, Mark, he's been really good at this golf course in the past. He's got, I believe, three top fives. Each of his last two starts here was a top four finish. Now, granted, those were 4 years ago and 2 years ago, respectively. But 50-1, I think that's kind of interesting for Daniel Berger.
I'd put a shekel or two on him. I will say this about the putting, right? Because the greens were mowed at 12 on the stimp. So they were a little slower than players were expecting. And when you play in the pro-am and the practice round, you always got sort of half the mindset to say, okay, Thursday morning rolls around and these babies are going to get double cut and varnished and they're going to be faster, right? And so every player that came in, it looked like they were misreading putts because they just couldn't figure the speed out. But now a lot of these guys that are normally good putters that have had a run 18 holes on these greens, and they're like, okay, we can trust what we're seeing right now. I feel like you might see those putting numbers change a little bit. And so it's with that being said that someone like a Min Woo still stays quite attractive to me.
Yeah. Who was your one and done, Mark?
I forget. I know you're going to remind me about it.
No, I legitimately don't remember.
I had Eric Cole, who went out in an ambulance and came back in another ambulance. He was 4 over 3 9. Yeah. So it was a rough day for the guy who was playing in the group in front of the group I had in the afternoon, Ricky Fowler and company. And whenever I looked up, he was missing putts and stuff. So it was unlike him. I'm, you know, looking like a weekend off, which is disappointing for me. But the next couple of weeks with a signature money is time to shine.
Yeah, for sure. He's currently in last. Seabez, not much better. He's T71. Greg and Rick have JT Poston. Last I looked, I think he finished at 2 under, so like in the 40s. I've got Russell Henley. I actually don't even know where Russell Henley's at. I think he was 2 or 3.
He was with Cole, and he was with Cole in the group in front. It didn't look very good. I don't know what he shot.
Oh, he's even. Wow, not good.
Yeah, no. Yeah, jeez. Well, he didn't have his best stuff either. I was watching from behind him.
So Josh is looking pretty good with Chris Kirk shooting four under on Thursday.
I'm going to ruin him tomorrow afternoon. Don't you worry.
I love that. I need it. I would be glad for that. Mark, great stuff today. You can follow Mark Immelman at Mark_Immelman. You can follow me at Kyle Porter CBS. Mark, keep the goods coming from PGA Tour Live. Enjoyed it today, and thanks for all the insight.
Likewise, my brother. See you soon.
Talk to you later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.